So let me just let you know how we found out about you.
Okay.
Earlier this week, someone put a comment on our Twitter feed that said they were really surprised that the floods in Tennessee were not getting more media coverage.
Right, right.
And in response, someone else tweeted and said, oh, you should check out how churches are responding. And they sent your Twitter address. And mm-hmm. so we clicked yeah. through and kind of got interested in what you're doing. Can you tell me just what your personal experience was of the flooding itself before you started any of your relief effort work? Just,
right.
You know, what was your personal experience of it?
Well, you know, it started raining on Saturday night and a good bit of the day on Saturday, actually. And we were in the process. We had not canceled our services Sunday morning, so all of our staff started heading into their different campuses. And that's when we first realized, holy cow, we've been getting a lot of rain. And then about 7:30, it started even heavier. And we started getting reports even from one of our north campus. We had a team of volunteers in there setting up that campus. That campus meets in a school.
Okay.
And we had heard because of flash flooding, they were actually trapped in the school. There was no way to get in. There was no way to get out. It was completely over the road. And that's when we first realized, wow, this is a lot bigger than we realized. And the rain was going to continue all day. So we started canceling services, sending everybody home. Which took people hours because roads were flooded and it was very difficult for people to get back.
Sure.
And then we started really just hearing the sad reports, even from our own staff. We've had several staff that have been severely impacted by the floods, houses completely submerged. It's just been devastating. And again, then, you know, you heard those stories from within your own little circles and you knew, wow, it's probably much bigger than this. It's probably everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't take long for us to realize that this was just going to be a massive crisis for Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any damage to, like, any of your personal property? Did you?
I really didn't.
Okay.
It's funny. It's very spotted around. So in our particular neighborhood, there was very limited damage, although you can go to the subdivision across the street from me, and there's massive damage.
Hmm.
And so a lot of it was flash flooding, so it had to do with, is your house near a creek or near a river?
Right.
We were not. So, you know, we have a lot of leaks in our ceiling and things like that, but nothing compared to the devastation that a lot of other people have experienced.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the kind of relief effort that you've organized and who's responding to that locally and even beyond the local area?
Well, by Sunday evening, we realized just how severe the flooding was and the damage that was happening. We just said, you know, we've got to do something. We as a church, a seven-year-old church, we've never been through this kind of crisis, but we said, you know, we can't be paralyzed by the fear. We've got to do something. And so we immediately set up a fund relief for the community. We started organizing teams Sunday night via Twitter and Facebook and our blog. Social media played a really key role for us. We've used that platform for just general communication in the past anyway, but this gave us a chance to mobilize teams of volunteers, you know, on the spot. And so it was wonderful to be able to see Monday morning, first thing when people could get out. If they could get out, we had them in teams of people, sending them out. Most of the work that we've done this week, Monday was still kind of search and rescue type mode,
mm-hmm.
Where we were still using boats to get people who were stranded in their homes out. By Tuesday, and it's been this way the rest of the week, our teams have been pulling out carpet, cutting out drywall, just loving on families, making sure they have water and food. We ran into some contractors yesterday who are basically charging about $8,000 to do what our teams can do in 2 hours for free.
Wow.
And so we're already seeing, it's just sad, there's people who try to take advantage of situations like this and take advantage of people who are in crisis and confused and willing to pay a lot more money than they actually should for certain things.
Hmm.
We worked really hard to just get in there and just love on people and just, you know, act like human beings should act and help out our neighbors who are in real trouble.
And are you connected with churches throughout the country, and have you had any sort of assistance from outside of Nashville?
You know, our church is an interdenominational church, but we have a wonderful just network of friends around the country. And we have had churches, we have had businesses that have been sending in contributions. We've had churches sending in volunteers from around the country. We got a truckload of water yesterday from a church in Ontario, Canada. And so it has been amazing to watch different communities of faith come together and just serve one another and say, you know, we feel helpless. We're 1,000 miles away, but we'll send you some water, or we'll send money for your relief fund so you can help people there in Nashville. And it's been very humbling to watch people pull together to really step up and to just be the church to a community that's in crisis.
You posted a video, I think it was yesterday, on your website, and a comment that you made in that video struck me. You said you were experiencing the direct correlation between crisis and spiritual transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you mean by that a little more.
Well, I think the reality is for most human beings is that when life is good, you know, and when you're sitting at the table with good friends and good wine and good food, and you know your marriage is going great and your kids are doing well and you know your career is going up and to the right, rare is it for us to really pause and say, I'm so thankful for life. Usually what happens when life is going good, we just assume this is the way it should be. You know, this is what I deserve. The reality is when crisis hits our life, all of a sudden our eyes are opened up and we realize, oh, wow, I've been taking so much for granted. I've taken things like running water for granted. I've taken things like, you know, having a home to live in for granted. I've taken just the very sanctity of life for granted. And it's hard for us in America where we for the most part, have it really good. And sometimes what happens is I think it takes a crisis for us to kind of be just rattled a little bit, for us to be reminded that, you know, at least in my faith tradition, that there is a God, and it's not me. And I desperately need to be kind of humbled before him and just be reminded that all of life is a gift. And I hate that it takes crisis in my life for me to remember that. But I think that's just part of the human condition, is that sometimes we need to be jolted just a little bit to be reminded. Now, I'm in no way suggesting that God caused the storm just so I could be jolted and be reminded to be thankful of him. I'm not saying
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
What I am saying is that when these things do happen, there is a direct correlation between crisis and between spiritual formation and our eyes being directed towards him.
You have 3 young boys, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How have they been experiencing this? Have they been involved in some of the work you're doing? And just what have you noticed in them?
You know, they have. They're 8, 5, and 3, so, you know, they're young. My 8-year-old is actually going to be going out with me tomorrow to work with some teams. And so he's going to get to see it firsthand. But you know, we've allowed them to watch some of the coverage and some of the media, and you know, some people want to kind of guard their children from those kind of things, and I understand that. I want my kids to see it. I want them to see what's going on, not only here in Nashville, but I want them to see and feel what's going on around the world.
Hmm.
And in tragedies like this, I'm so tempted as a father to protect them. I'm so tempted as a father to want
right.
to kind of bring them, you know, just face to face with me and say, hey, listen, guys, don't worry. This will never happen to you. You know, you'll never get swept away in a flood. You know, you'll never lose your home. You know, this won't happen to you, but
mm-hmm.
but I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I have to be honest with them, and I have to say, you know, this is a reminder to all of us that we don't get to choose how we die, but we do get to choose how we live. And you got to make a choice with the days that we've been given to live a good life and to live a life where you can help out your neighbors who are in crisis. And so you don't get to choose how you die. None of us do. But we do get to choose how we live.
How have you been reflecting on this experience? I mean, you've talked a little bit about, sort of your personal reflection on it for your life. But I'm just wondering, in your role as a pastor, how you're thinking about this, not only for the current, day-to-day relief work that you're doing, but also for how your church moves forward from this.
Well, this week has been just about the crisis. It's just about helping people with just the bare essentials, and not just our own church people, but our entire community. To be honest with you, we're going to have to switch gears, and I know that going into the weeks and the months ahead, it's going to be more about really helping them sustain and get back to somewhat of a normal life. I realize, our government is somewhat limited in what they can do, and so that's why, I think things like our flood fund are very important so that we can really help our neighbors kind of get back to where they need to be, even financially.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we've got a long road ahead of us. I think sometimes the church is tempted to put a Band-Aid on complicated situations and come up with some easy, cute, phrases to try to make people feel better. I think the reality is that we have to be very honest. We have to be real and say, you know what, there's some questions in all of this that we can't answer. And that's okay. I think sometimes God wants us to linger in the questions and linger in that longing. I wish I had a simple plan. I wish I had an easy answer to all this, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take us weeks, months, maybe years, to really just walk with people and to kind of just figure out how we can really best love them through
mm-hmm.
all of this.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of healing to come.
Mm, absolutely.
Like I mentioned, you have some great images on your website, a couple of them that struck me. One picture of sort of a bunch of muddied, damaged instruments leaned up against a wall, a guitar and a keyboard.
Yeah.
And was that from people's homes or?
It was. I actually know that the individual you were talking about there is a guy named Joe who is a young couple. They've been married a couple of years, moved to Nashville, chasing their music dreams. And just a good couple. They work hard. And their home was I think it was around 6 to 7 feet underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've pretty much, it's a loss, at least as far as anything that was in the home.
Do they have a young baby? Because I noticed some of the other images, I think.
Yeah, I think that those were probably images from a different house.
Oh, okay.
If I remember correctly. Because they don't, but many of the families that we've been working with do.
Yeah.
And have small children and... it's just, all your kids' stuff and belongings. And that's been some of the saddest. And it's been interesting. People will lose expensive pieces of furniture, but that's not what they're tore up about. It's the pile of pictures
right.
that we've had to lay out all over their front yard trying to allow them to dry out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what breaks their heart because it represents memories. And it represents, these moments in life. And again, that's when you're reminded, it's not about the stuff. It's about what's really important in life. It's those memories. It's those moments that you had with people, with your kids, with your siblings, with your parents. Those are the moments that we all of a sudden cherish very deeply when the things of life have been taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's an important reminder.
I noticed, published a book that came out this week, and I was looking at, it's called Plan B, correct?
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure I'm going to sum it up very well here, but it seemed to me it's about how you sort of handle life when all the dreams and expectations and the plans you thought you had suddenly
right.
change and
right.
something unexpected comes along. To me, it felt sort of ironic that your book came out this week as you're experiencing this. I'm sure it must feel that way for you.
It is. I mean, to have your book nationally released on Tuesday of this past week when we were right in the middle of the biggest Plan B that certainly Nashville has ever faced. Mm-hmm. It's ironic. At the same time, you know, I'm hoping that there's just a lot of people that we can get help and hope just through that book, that it encourages them, that it helps them with their perspective at what they're looking at, because it, you know, and not just for flood victims, all of us. We all have areas of life where life is not turning out in a way that we hoped that it would, and whether that's our marriage or finances. So, you know, I'm really praying that the book will be just helpful to people and help them find hope in the midst of what can sometimes be a discouraging and dark time in their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I think that should do it for us. Oh, you know, one final question I have. There's been a lot of references to this situation and Katrina, which some may be fair and some may not be fair.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you experienced Katrina at all. I know Tennessee and New Orleans are not right next to each other, but I just, given my impression up here in the Midwest, is the South is sometimes kind of tight knit.
Right.
But I just wondered if you had experienced that at all.
Well, I did. I had the opportunity to go down with the team and serve at Katrina, and obviously here I'm very hands on and have been since you know day one. But you know, there are similarities in that there's hurt and there's pain and there's loss.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, though, as far as the scope of it, I think from a financial scope and just a numerical scope, I think we have to be honest and say that the two probably are not a direct correlation.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Again, Katrina was such a massive, massive flood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was different. One of the biggest differences I saw in Katrina were that people abandoned. You know, so many people had to get out and evacuate, and they were gone for weeks and months.
Right.
Where here in Nashville, most people stayed, even if they had to go to a different part of Nashville or to a shelter, they stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's immediate relief that started on Monday. And mm-hmm. so the cleanup process happened quicker. I mean, sure, there are neighborhoods that you could go into right now in Nashville where you would say, this looks just like Katrina.
Mm.
But the difference was in Katrina, you couldn't go anywhere in New Orleans,
right,
where you didn't see that kind of damage. And so, you know, I think people in Nashville have felt somewhat slighted that there hasn't been more media attention. You know, we could debate that all day long. I think the reality is that we want media attention. And, you know, media silence equals public ignorance.
Hmm.
And public ignorance equals less charitable contributions. Bottom line, people don't know about the tragedy. If they're not educated on what happened here, they can't feel compelled to then give and to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's probably the most important thing is that, and that's why we appreciate what you guys are doing, Colleen. I think it's important to just educate people on the need so that they can then make their own choice on whether or not they feel like this is something that they need to give to or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you again taking time to talk to me. And I wish you the best of luck with your relief efforts. It sounds like you're just doing really very important, immediately helpful work.
Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah. And I will follow up with Wes, and we'll let you know when this is going to get posted on our blog, probably sometime this weekend.
That'd be great.
And thanks again.
Okay. Thank you so much, Colleen.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.